Faith Promise Sunday. We're glad that you are here today, and we look forward to fellowship together around the Word of God, and then also around the dinner plate in a little while. We're glad that you're here today. I want to draw your attention to a verse of Scripture in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, that says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." You know, this is one of those verses that brings clarity to thinking. Whenever you allow the Word of God to speak to your heart when you read it, you come away with something that will help you to gauge others and yourself. We have to be careful that we don't just use the ruler of God's Word to hold it up against other people. You need to take the ruler and hold it up against yourself to make sure that you're thinking correctly. The Bible says very clearly that good people bring forth good treasure and they do that which is good. And evil people bring forth evil treasure that brings forth evil. And it comes out through the mouth. I wonder sometimes if we are not thinking clearly in the things that we say and the things which we do. Sometimes the things which we do are different from the things that we say. That inconsistency is revealing. It's revealing what kind of a heart you have. If you're able to snow somebody into thinking a certain way and then you go off after manipulating them and you go off and do something totally different, you're a hypocrite. Very clear in God's Word. You're bringing forth evil treasure because you have an evil heart. If you're doing what's right, you'll bring forth those things which are right. So I want to encourage you today as we gather around God's Word to make sure that our life is being measured not by our opinions and our ideas, but by the standard of the Word of God. Because one thing about the standard of the Word of God, it may be different than your bathroom scales, which will lie to you. You know, you can sit there and fudge it. Little dial on the bottom. Yeah, I said, "Oh, look, honey, I've lost weight. I'm keeping my New Year's resolution." And all you did was just adjust the dial at the bottom. What are you doing? You're lying. And if you've got one of those scales that you can stand on it 16 times in a row and get a different weight, you need to get rid of the scale. Right? But don't ever get rid of this scale. This scale will never fail you. This standard will never lie to you. This standard will help you to understand the truth about yourself and others. And I pray that we'll allow the standard to do its work today in our hearts and lives.
Turn to number 494, please. Number 494 for our first song, "Here Am I, Lord, Send Me." Number 494, we'll stand together to sing.
Thank you.
prayer this morning.
Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of that song that we just sang. Our responsibility in responding to you is to simply say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." That simple truth of obedience, you telling us what you want us to do, and we responding, "Lord, we'll do it." I pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts and lives. There are so many places around this globe that need people to carry the gospel. There are areas of our country with no gospel witness, no local church for people to attend. Lord, I pray that you'd move in hearts and lives to draw people into thy service. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be a faithful witness and testimony for thee, realizing that there are people in our neighborhoods, people that we live nearby, that do not know thee. And the only way that they're going to hear is for us to tell them. I pray that you would stir up our hearts today on this Faith Promise Sunday to realize that missions is not just somebody else's job, it's our job. And I pray that you, your Holy Spirit, would work in such a way to instill that into our hearts and lives today. Father, we do pray for our country. We pray that you would undertake for this nation. We think of those that are serving our country and preparing to protect our nation. I pray for Austin today, as this is his last service with us, as he will be going to Texas to train in Jets. I pray for him, Father, that you would open up another local church for him to be a part of, and that you would watch over and protect him in his training, and that you would use him in a mighty way to carry forth your work here upon this earth. We think of others that are serving around the globe, for those that are protecting our country on ships and in faraway places. We pray for them today, Father. And we pray especially for those that know Jesus Christ, that they would be a faithful witness and that they would not be afraid to shine forth the light of the truth of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for those that are in leadership over us, our president, our vice president, for those in Congress, for those that serve in the state legislature and also locally. Father, there are so many individuals and many of them are in desperate need of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for them today, that you would send forth a message to them, a message of the gospel, of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and that they would open their hearts to receive thee. Lord, I pray for those missionaries today that are serving thee around the globe. We thank you, Father, for their desire to be used of thee and to go to different places to be a witness and testimony for thee. We think of Ricky and Judy Dunsford this morning. We pray for them as they minister. We think about the Alabama Prison Conference that will be taking place next month in Birmingham. We pray, Father, that you would open doors of opportunity, even with the pandemic. We thank you that they're allowing them to go back and be able to minister in the prison. And we pray, Father, that you would work in hearts even now to have open hearts to receive the truth of the message that Brother Ricky and others will be preaching. Pray that you draw precious souls unto yourself. We think also, Father, of those that are serving in very difficult circumstances. For Don and Michelle, we pray for them as they serve thee in the Orient. We ask, dear Father, that you might allow them to be shielded and protected from the different variants that are going through that population right now. And we pray that you would allow them to be able to communicate the Word of God clearly and that you would meet their needs and provide. We pray, Father, that you would watch over them today. Now, Lord, we pray that you'd work in our hearts today as we open the Word of God. Help us to have hearing ears, and that we would not only hear thy word, but do it. And we pray that you would bring about a revival in our hearts, an awakening to the truth of your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated as we turn now to number 53. Number 53 in hymn books, and we'll sing, "O 4,000 Tongues to Sing," number 53.
Fast, and my God, us is feet.
489, and let's sing I Surrender All. I Surrender All, number 489, just the first and last verses.
Thank you.
God's people said, amen. Take your Bibles, please, and join me at Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read the three verses that we focused on last week as we continue in our study of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Beginning at verse 19, please. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Father in heaven, I pray that you would work in our hearts today as we consider the truths of these three verses of Scripture that you shared with your disciples and those that were gathered there on that mount many, many years ago, but the revelation of truth still has a great burden even to this very hour. We pray that you would stir our hearts today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I spent time last week talking about the fact that our treasures that are on earth are inherently insecure. They can be destroyed by moths, rust, and it can be stolen by thieves. Now, I want to read again to you what this passage is not saying, because a lot of people jump to all kinds of conclusions about, oh, that means that we shouldn't want any money at all. No, that's not what the passage is saying. Let's think about this for just a moment. He's not forbidding material possessions in and of themselves. He's not asking you to live in a shed and be a recluse and have nothing. That's not what he said. Not only that, he's not forbidding the private ownership of property. He doesn't say that we don't own property. He's not forbidding saving money for the future. He's not forbidding investing for a greater return. Matter of fact, there's other passages that teach us to do that. Then number five, he's not forbidding owning insurance, and he's not forbidding, number six, owning nice things. You don't have to go out and buy the cheapest thing you can find. God wants us to use our money wisely and buy quality as something that will last for a period of time. We live in such a disposable age today that we don't keep things for very long because they don't last very long. I've noticed that refrigerators and washing machines and dryers and dishwashers don't last like they used to. My wife and I had a stove that worked very well in the apartment, never had any trouble with it. And we have a stove right now. We have the same one that we bought when we got in the house, but we have been through four dishwashers. We've been through four washing machines and dryers during that time. And we're on our third microwave, I believe it is, in our house. They just don't make things to last anymore. And the reason they do that is because they like making money. So they don't build quality that's going to last a long, long time and they don't see you for 25 years. They want to see you more often. So they make a less quality object. So you have to really, really search these days to find high quality stuff, and you have to pay through the nose for it. But God wants us to use our money wisely. So what is he forbidding then? What is he saying here with this statement? The key phrase lies in for yourselves. We talked about this. We ended with this thought last time. For yourselves. Look at it, please. Lay not up for yourselves treasures. All right? Inward focus, not outward. Looking to oneself. That's what I'm doing. I'm saving all this. I'm doing all this for me. That's a problem. That's a problem. That selfish inward look destroys the whole purpose that God has for you laying up treasures in heaven. God wants you to think outside of your box and think inside of His box. You know, that's a challenge for us all. We all like to think about ourselves. We all like to think about what we like and what we want to do and where we want to go and all these kind of things. And so many times there's very little thought about what God wants us to do and where God wants us to go and how God wants us to do and use our money. You see, when you lay up for yourselves, you've entered into a whole new territory that's not governed by God. And when it's not governed by God, then you're going to have to deal with all the consequences that come by living in a territory that's not governed by God. You're in the Wild West of your life when you do that. I grew up thinking that cowboys lived out west. I thought that all those cowboy movies that we watched, that was real time. It was something that was going on out there, and I wanted to see it as a kid. All right? I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about as a kid. All right? And boy, I used to watch those westerns. I knew all the characters. The Lone Ranger. Wow. Hi-yo, Silver! Away! I can remember that echoing through our living room as a child. And Clayton Moore, I think was his name. He had on that patch over his eyes. And he would hop on, and there was Tonto. And he was with him every step of the way, you know. And boy, I said, this has got to be great living out in the West with all those bad guys out there that have to be taken care of. Well, I found out later on that that was all fictional for the most part. And there really wasn't a Lone Ranger. And there wasn't a Tonto. All right? And there wasn't Silver, the beautiful horse that he rode upon. That was all make-believe. Do you live in a make-believe world? There are a lot of people that go to church that live in a make-believe world. It's a world of their own making, and it's not governed by God. You're laying up treasures for yourself. Do you realize that as a Christian, God saved me by His grace and took ownership of what He had created? Do you realize that in the garden, when Adam sinned and willfully disobeyed God's command, that he changed ownership that day? He became the property of Satan. The Bible says, ye are of your father, the devil. Now, he changed ownership. People like to say, well, all people are God's creatures, and therefore all people go to heaven. No. In Adam's sin, I changed ownership. God the Father was not tricked, because before the foundation of the world, He had a plan already to go. He was going to send His only begotten Son and make a way possible so that we would be translated from the kingdom of Satan and be put back into the kingdom of God. Amen? That's called salvation through Jesus Christ. But some people live in such a way that God doesn't really rule over everything in their lives. And so we've got to be careful. We have to understand that all things in this world are inherently insecure. So you better be investing in those things which are secure, heavenly things. And that brings us to some other thoughts here. I want to go to the second theme here, and that is the fact that there are many that look to the world to determine their financial philosophy. How many of you have ever heard of Forbes 400? Anybody ever heard of that? That started in 1982, my senior year. And the reason I know that is I did a report on it in my senior year. I had an economics class that I took. And I did a report on Forbes 400. It was the first year that they did that. It was the 400 most richest people in the world. I was intrigued by that. All right? And there was a newcomer at that particular time. His name was John Walton. All right? And Mr. Walton had started this store called Walmart. And he was up there. He had made his first big millions. And he had actually become a billionaire by that particular time. We didn't have a Walmart at that time, but we knew about them because the big cities had them. All we knew about was Kmart. And that was in Pensacola. And that's where we went once a month to do our shopping, and we got to go to the deli that they had there and get a hamburger and fries. So that's the only thing I really cared about, Kmart, was where we got a hamburger and some fries from the little deli that they used to have there. And I grew up with Kmart. And then we were introduced to Walmart in the early 1990s when they built one on Highway 90 here. How many of you were excited when Walmart came in? All right. Were you excited about the fact that the owner, Sam Walton, I said John Walton. John Walton was from the Waltons. My goodness. He was not rich. Sam Walton. Sam Walton became a billionaire because we made him that. And the Forbes list had very familiar names. The Kennedys, the Rockefellers, the Morgans. Go down the list of all the different people. But you know what happened in 1983 and then 1984, 1985, going through all these years? There's a constant turning over of names. Some names appear there pretty regularly, but there's always new ones coming on there. And then you read about the ones that are not on the list anymore, and something bad happened. Something bad happened. You remember the bubble that hit in the early or mid-1990s, the dot-com bubble that burst, and millionaires lost everything basically overnight? And then, of course, in 1928, you have the Black Monday, and everybody were jumping out of buildings in New York City because they had lost everything. It's inherently insecure. And the list is never the same year to year. There's a lot of new names. By the way, the Forbes 400 is coming out soon for 2022. And there's a lot of new names on there, and they have Indian names. Okay? Investors, moneymakers from the country of India. And they have long, long names that you'll never, ever be able to pronounce. And you'll never meet them in this world, but they're Forbes 400. Because they're billionaires now. There's a constant rotation. It's never the same. That's what this has taught us through the years. It shatters the myth by showing that staying rich is nearly as difficult as getting rich. Let that be a lesson to us all. There's a warning that comes with that. Number two, the followers of Jesus are to store up treasures in heaven because heaven... Now get this, heaven is the only place where wealth will be secure. Now, I say that intentionally because we think that there's other secure places. But I'm telling you, from what we learn from this passage of Scripture, that we are to store up treasures in heaven because heaven is the only place where wealth will be secure. Look at verse 20, please. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. How many of you have ever heard of this ransom stuff that's happening where people get their computers taken over and you have to pay a fee to be able to get back your information? I won't ask for a show of hands if that's happened. But be careful about what emails you click on. All right? Because there are all kinds of scams out there. They'll lock up your computer, and then you'll have to pay a fee to be able to unlock it and get all your information back. Better back things up. Better make sure that you don't put yourself in that particular situation. Thieves come from all kinds of areas, and they're always thinking faster than the rest of us. They're trying to find a way. Isn't it interesting that all the billions of dollars that have been spent for the pandemic, they're starting to arrest people that were taking that money and personally taking and putting it in their bank accounts, politicians. What? Okay. Yeah. Billions of dollars missing, didn't get used for pandemic purposes, got used for politician purposes. And some states are not even using the money for the purpose of the intended items for protecting themselves against the pandemic. They're using it for infrastructure. All right? They're going to build a high-speed rail service in California. They've been talking about that for 20 years. All right? And now they've got money. And it came from that particular thing. Billions of dollars. What are we going to do with that? Well, let's just build a high-speed rail. It's going to be a boondoggle from the word go. But you see, what it is, we're putting our money in bags that have holes in them. And it's just pouring out. Pouring out. There's only one place, Christian, where your treasures will be secure. And where is that located? Heaven. The only place. Jesus is saying that we ought to put our money in the bank of heaven. Now, what does that mean? You can't buy stock in the bank of heaven, can you? And they don't have any automatic tellers down here. So even if we understand these words of Jesus, how in a practical sense do we obey them? How do you make a deposit on earth for dividends to be paid in heaven? Here is one sentence to the answer. You store up treasures in heaven by investing your money in things that will last for eternity. Why do we have a missions program at Grace Bible Church? Because we want to invest in those that will carry the gospel so that people will come to know Jesus Christ and we will see them in heaven for all eternity. Aunt Carolyn used to share letters with us about those that wrote into her that had trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior as a result of hearing the Aunt Carolyn radio broadcast. And you know, it's an amazing thing. It's a child or a grandmother or a grandfather or a parent that was listening to the radio program and God worked in their hearts. Maybe it had been a period of time that they'd been listening and God began to work in their hearts. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, who for many years was a radio host, died in 1988, but his ministry continues on to this day. They read letters at the very beginning of the program. I always enjoy hearing them. Just the simple preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Not something fancy. As a matter of fact, if you were to rate Dr. J. Vernon McGee's voice, it would just be above me, all right, which is pretty low. He had one of those Texas drawls. And when he talked like this. And at first, I struggled with it. But then as you begin to listen at the Word of God being taught, I got past that. I got past all that. And my heart was instructed and taught. But at the beginning of the program, they would read the letters that they would get from individuals. I remember hearing one that told the story of a man who was in his car debating about taking his life. He was in Southern California. He had a gun laying on the seat and just randomly turned on the radio and was just listening through, and Dr. J. Vernon McGee's Texas drawl caught his attention. And so he just listened. And Dr. J. Vernon McGee was preaching on the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. And he communicated the fact, no matter how dirty, how awful, how terrible you are, Jesus loves you. Don't sin against His love. And that phrase that J. Vernon McGee used on a regular basis, don't sin against God's love, resonated in that heart. He drove to a telephone and called the 800 number. And asked to speak to somebody. He said, I need to be saved. I've been sinning against God's love. They led him to Christ. They got him directed to a good Bible preaching church. And his life was transformed. Now folks, that's what we're talking about, investing in treasures in heaven. That man could have very easily taken his life and gone to a devil's hell for all eternity. But somebody invested in that radio program so it would continue on in perpetuity. It's been 35 years since Dr. J. Vernon McGee passed away. How many of you get to hear him from time to time on the radio? A lot of you. Yeah. My heart gets challenged and blessed. You can go online and listen to it if you miss the radio program or whatever. Just simple teaching of the Word. But you know what? It's investing in heaven. Investing in heaven. And that investment is secure. It'll never be stolen by a thief. It will never rust away. It will never be moth-eaten. It will last for all eternity. Are you investing in those kind of things? Only two things last forever. All right? Everything else vanishes. Cars, boats, homes, those terrible fires that rolled through Colorado, taking out million-dollar homes, and the only thing that was left was foundations. I saw the pictures. I couldn't believe the devastation there in Colorado from those fires that just came rushing across the Front Range, took out multi-million-dollar homes, and left nothing but a foundation. Homes can go away. They're not secure. Clothes. How many of you are wearing the same clothes you wore 25 years ago? No, don't raise your hand, please. Yeah. Some things are just comfortable and you like to do it, but usually shoes don't last 25 years, especially tennis shoes. You got to constantly be replacing those. But, some of us get a little bit bigger with time, and some of us get a little bit smaller in time, and you have to adjust what you wear and so forth like that. But what I've found over the years is that clothes don't last. I'm thankful we're not wearing the clothes we wore in the 70s. Okay? I remember Dr. Hobbs and his big wide lapel coats. He had two-tone shoes that he used to wear, white and brown. I remember seeing them. He'd come up to the edge of the thing. We didn't have this thing at that particular time. It was up on the stage. But he'd walk out. Sometimes he'd come down on the floor and he'd have those two-tone, and I'd be staring at him. It's two colors. Wow. I got a pair. I asked for them for Christmas one year because I wanted a pair of two-tone shoes. I am so glad that went away. All right? I'm so glad that some of those wide belts that covered the whole midsection of your body went away. The big wide watch bands that were there in the 70s. There's constantly changing and morphing and all that kind of stuff because clothes go away. They don't last. What else does it last? Well, jobs, salaries, vacations, books, buildings, they all pass away. They wear out or blow up or fall down. You eventually lose your job, your salary turns out, your bank account goes dry, your investments pass away. Nothing that is material lasts forever. It's part of the way God created the world. It's the curse of sin that took away the glory of the Garden of Eden and left us with a curse. Sin brought that. The world is passing away, 1 John 2:17. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. This book, folks, will endure all eternity. Matter of fact, this book's going to be open and I'm going to be held account to it. Did you know that? Every idle word shall be brought to account. I'm going to be put up against the standard of God's Word. I'm so thankful that I'm not saved based upon what I do. I'm thankful that I'm saved upon what Jesus Christ did. That's an eternal work. Amen? That lasts forever! Why is it that I find so much glory in things that pass away? Whenever we invest in missions, whenever we invest in Christian education, whenever we invest in things that involve eternal souls and seeing them come to Jesus Christ, we are investing in things that will never end. They will last for all eternity. But verse 21 gives us the punchline of Jesus Christ's teaching here. It explains the reason why where you store your treasures is so very important. It brings us to the third point. Where you put your money is all important because your heart follows your money, either up to heaven or down to the grave. Either up to heaven or down to the grave. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me say that in a very simple fashion. Your heart follows your money. Your heart follows your money. That's not the way most of us think. We tend to think that our money follows our heart. Jesus said, no, it doesn't work that way. Your heart follows your money. It either follows it up to heaven or down to earth. Since your heart always follows your money, it only makes sense to put your money where your heart ought to be. Amen? You don't own the boat. The boat owns you. I think I shared a little bit about that. I bought a boat way back in 1988. I graduated from college and I said, I want a boat. So I bought a boat. Wren's father-in-law had a boat for sale, and so I went over to his house and I fell in love immediately with it. And I drug it home and I built a shed for it. I had that boat. The first week I took it out to Blackwater River and the transom was all rotted. I forgot to look at that. Where the motor sits, mounts on the back, that whole transom area that holds the motor was rotted. And I was gunning it up and down the river. I wanted to see what that 85 horsepower boat would do. And the next thing I look, my brother says to me, Todd, we got water pouring in the back of the boat. What? I look back there, the whole fiberglass section was open and water was gushing in, and I floored it to get it back. It took us all we could do to get that boat out of the water. It was so full. I took it to my cousin, who did fiberglass work, and he said, well, you did a really good job of that, Todd. Yeah, I forgot to check that. He said, you know, when you buy a boat, always check the quality of the transom in the back. I didn't know what a transom was. But mine was rotted. And because I was gunning it up and down the river, the fiberglass broke. And so the motor was just barely hanging. I don't know why I didn't drop it in Blackwater River. But we made it ashore, and I flopped that motor all the way back to my cousin's house. And it took him 6 months to fix it. Replace the transom. And I said, we got to fix that fiberglass broke section, and I want a big aluminum plate bolted on there so that thing never happens again. My boat was so heavy with all that extra stuff, when I put it in the water, the front end was sticking up like this. I had to go buy special dolphin fins to put on my motor so it would plane out. Because whenever I would gun it to go, it was just like this. So I bought those fins, put them on my motor, and it actually started to plane out, and I had everybody sit in the front. You know what I learned? I learned a very valuable lesson. You don't own the boat. The boat owns you. And the same thing is true with material things and money and all the things that the world says is what we need to be putting our investments in. It owns you. It owns you! And then you don't think straight. And your heart follows it. Follows it either to heaven or to the grave. You know, one thing is consistent about very wealthy people that die. The only thing that they take with them is a suit of clothes that's inside the casket. And they're even cutting corners on that today, in these days. They used to dress them all up, and now they don't do that anymore. No socks. No shoes. It's just you got the impression. All right? Save money that way. You don't take it with you. Well, I've got a plan in place. Do you know how many people through the years? I was reading the story of a lady, and I'll close with this. Her name was Barbara Hutton. Anybody remember Barbara Hutton from the 20s, 30s, and 40s? She was the daughter of E.F. Hutton. Anybody know who E.F. Hutton is? The great investor. And she was the daughter, and she was a multimillionaire. She was married 7 times. Whenever Barbara Hutton died, she had $3,500 left in her bank account. Her friends in Hollywood took up a collection. Her former husband, Cary Grant, sent a large check to pay for the funeral. She was buried with her father and mother because she didn't have the money enough to buy in New York City. Cemetery plots are very expensive. She was buried with her parents, having lost almost everything that she inherited. She was a multimillionaire at one time, and then all that was taken away. Oh, she was very kind with her money. She gave her money away to different causes and individuals and so forth like that, but she had nothing left when it was all gone. She was destitute for the most part. Now, all that investment, all that work that her father had done and gave it to his daughter had all disappeared. What's the lesson? You don't own the boat. The boat owns you. The Bible says where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. Let me ask you something this morning with the final question. Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure at? Is your constant thought about material things? Does it dominate your thinking all the time, material things, material things, material things, material things, with very little thought about eternal things, things that last forever? You've got a serious problem. Your heart is following your treasure, your money. God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to lay up treasure in heaven that will be untouched by moth, rust, or thieves. He wants you to send good things for His use. He wants you to take care of the missionaries. He wants you to take care of the church. He wants you to take care of those causes in which Jesus Christ's work on earth will be furthered that will have eternal results that will last beyond this world. One day this building is going to be gone. I don't know when, but one day I'm assured by what I know from the Bible that everything on this campus is going to be destroyed by fire. Won't be here. What? Some people get all bent out of shape about all the wonderful things of this world, but it's all going to be gone. It's all going to be gone. Every precious little memento that you have. One of the women in Colorado who lost everything in the fire said, we can't replace all the trinkets and all the pictures and all the things that they had saved in their beautiful million-dollar home. It was all gone. And she says, we've been brought to nothing. What am I going to do? All I could do was scream at the television set, trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. That's what you can do. And then you'll be set for all eternity. What do you spend your time thinking about? Is it material? Or is it spirit-controlled understanding of the material and the future? That's the difference. That's the Sermon on the Mount. What are you sending to heaven? Because one day there's going to be a testing, and we'll find out what we all sent. And I pray that we'll have something to cast at Jesus' feet. Amen? Something that will last for all eternity and not be burned up, the wood, hay, and the stubble, and all the stuff that we did on this world too, for ourselves. All right? That'll all be destroyed and burned up. What have we sent to Him? Father in heaven, I pray that You'd do a work in our hearts this morning. These are just simple principles. These are not new. Everybody knows these things. But Lord, it's easy to forget in the culture in which we live, in which the opposite is taught, that we need more things, that we need to pursue more things, and to gather more things. And all of those things that are on the earth will be destroyed and burned up, stolen, rust, moth-eaten. They're not wise investments because they're inherently insecure. Father, I pray that you would help us in our thinking to follow your words, that we might understand that we need to be investing in those things which will last for all eternity. The Barbara Huttons of this world will always be disappointed because they invest in things that do not last. Help us not to be that way. Help us, Father, to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we might have our hearts follow the treasure that's in heaven, secure for all eternity. Work in our hearts, dear Father, and change our thinking. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
446, be thou my vision, but that third verse talks about riches. I heed not. Thou art my inheritance now and always. You know, the past is the past, but if the Lord's not your inheritance, now's the time to start and put Him first. Ask Him to forgive you of those things now and always. First in my heart, and at the last phrase there, He is our treasure. Let's focus on the fact that our vision needs to be turned to the Lord as our inheritance, as we've heard this morning. Let's stand and sing that third verse, number 446. Thank you so much for the message of these past couple of Sundays. I ask, Lord, that our treasure truly would be on the Lord Jesus Christ, our inheritance, our vision on Him, and not the things of this world that so easily distract us. Father, I pray especially during our Faith Promise time that we would seek Your face about Your work and Your work around the world, and help us, Lord, to give out of the abundance of what You've done for us with a vision toward the eternal. And we do ask that You'd bless our missionaries that are serving all over the world. Father, we ask your blessing on our time of fellowship as well, and thank you for this time together. In Christ's name, amen.